Well, good evening, everybody. Who's here for the first time? Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm blessed to have you with us, and I believe that the Lord tonight is going to share something with you. How many of you know that we serve an awesome God? Amen? Amen. Come on. God is good. You know, we heard a wonderful testimony today about a woman that for a year found it very difficult to walk, and she was in pain constantly. It sounds to me like even just lying on a bed for you was really a difficult thing. And it's like her husband says, her situation seemed hopeless. And I'm sure that she was in a place of desperation. But I want you to understand something. The Bible tells us that with God, nothing is ever hopeless. For God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And I think that's one of the greatest challenges that we are faced with today, is that we need to wrap our minds and our heads around the fact that what we see and what God sees is two completely different things. And, you know, a lot of the times, that's why people battle to get the breakthrough that they need. Because we tend to put God in the same box as we put another person or ourselves. We say, well, you know what, if it's impossible for me, then probably this just is impossible, and I have to just make my peace with my fate, and I just have to accept my circumstances. And I want to say something to you. You don't have to accept nothing if the Bible says that you don't. Amen? Amen. Listen, yeah, Jesus is the healer. Why do you think he's called the healer? Because there are people that need to be healed. There are some things that can be healed by Panado, and there are some things that can't. There are some things that a discipline will work for, and there are some things that it just won't. There are some things that an operation can do, and there are some things that it can't. But I want you to understand something. Just because there are limitations in medicine today, and just because the medical profession has a lot of things they don't understand and they don't know how to deal with it, that doesn't mean God is in the same category. Please raise your hand and say with me, God is bigger than my problem. Amen. Yes, he is. Bless God. Now, yeah, I shared that on the basis of sickness, infirmity, pain, suffering, etc., etc. But the same is valid for your financial situation. Anybody here have financial problems? I was kind of like expecting every hand in the place to go up. The ones that are not raising their hands right now, you really are blessed, aren't you? Eh? I mean, you must kind of come and lay hands on a couple of people, yeah. But the thing is, if God can deal with sickness, if God can deal with infirmity, if God can deal with the things that the medical profession say, this is a life sentence, well, then I have to say to you that God can deal with any situation that you might be battling with tonight. I want to say something to you. I am very blessed, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when we hear testimonies, we also understand that God is real. Then we understand that God is alive and well and kicking. Then we understand that we don't just serve some God that was made up fictitiously by people somewhere in the past, that God still moves amongst his people today. And one of the reasons why testimony is so important is because the Word of God says in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 10 that we will overcome the devil by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I know I've spoken about this before, but you know what? This is on my heart and I want to share it again. I think it saddens God when he does things for people and they refuse to talk about what God has done for them. I said earlier on that when Jesus healed the lepers, there was like 10 of them that God healed of leprosy. 2 of them came back to say thank you. And when they came back, Jesus' first question was, well, wasn't all 10 healed? Why is only 2 of you coming back? It's the same when God does something for us and we refuse to say to people, listen, yeah, God did this and this and this for me. I can just see God standing up there saying, well, didn't I just do something for you? Can't you just give me the glory by saying to people what I've done? How are we going to get the gospel to the ends of the earth? Very easy when people are willing to open their mouths and talk. Very difficult when everybody shuts their mouth. And that's one of the problems that we sit with today. People don't want to share what God has done for them. Even though God sometimes does amazing and wonderful things, and I'm not just talking about healings. You know, sometimes you are praying for something and suddenly it falls into place. You know in your heart, you have that check in your heart, God has just done this for you. You should share it with somebody. You know, there might be somebody in your circle of friends or somebody at the office that really desperately needs to hear that God is still real because they are willing to give. They want to give up on life. They just don't want to live anymore. And that one word of encouragement, that testimony that you share, is going to take them and pick them up out of the pit of despair that the devil has put them in right there. That brings me to something else. Henny shared something interesting tonight, and I actually asked him to share that because this is the reality that we live with. If God is real, then you must make peace with the fact that the devil is real as well. I don't want to really say amen to that, but that's just the way it is. If God is real, then the devil is real too. If angels are real, then demons are real too. If they are not real, then the Bible is lying to us. And how many of you know the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie? So here's the thing. It's Jenny, right? Jenny has been praying, and Henny has been praying for Jenny for a breakthrough, for healing, for restoration now for a couple of years, for a very long time. And Henny has faith. It's not like he doesn't have faith. And when he brought her to these meetings, he brought her with the faith that God is going to do something for her. Do you agree with me? But look at the interesting thing that happened when he was standing waiting for his wife to be prayed for. This voice began to speak to him and said to him, listen, you're wasting your time. Just pack your bags, put your wife in the car and go home because you are going to be disappointed. Who was speaking to him? Do you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak that way? The Holy Spirit, when he speaks to us, he will uplift us, he will edify us, he will comfort us. The Bible says prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. When the Holy Spirit speaks, generally he speaks in those terms to edify us, to exhort us, and to comfort us. Amen? So when something begins to give a critical, harsh word in your ear, tell you this is not for you, you're not good enough, you better get out of here, problems are coming, that's not God. It doesn't conform to the character of God. It doesn't conform to who God is. He's a loving Father who cares for us. And I don't know about you, but I understand that God wants the best for me and he wants the best for you. Jesus said, I have come to set the captive free. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. What is always God's heart? It is to bring healing and to bring restoration. But demons don't want us to experience that healing and that restoration because when God has done it, it gives you a testimony. And when you use your testimony turns into a weapon. The devil doesn't like it when we fight back. The devil likes it when we turn and run. And sometimes he uses that voice speaking in your ear to try and get you to turn and run. Raise your hands if you have had a big fight with your wife just before having to come to church. Oh, now you're all lying to me. There we go. There's one. I'm very proud of you. There's two. Have you noticed that sometimes, like on a Sunday, just before you have to go to church, or maybe on a Saturday, so that on a Sunday you don't speak to one another, there is this huge blow up, and then both of you are like, I don't want to go to church. Guess what was probably going to happen at church that day? Breakthrough. You see, the devil might not know the future, but probably he knew that the sermon that was going to be preached that day is exactly what you need to hear. Doesn't the Bible say, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free? Well, if he can keep you from hearing the truth, then he can keep you from receiving the deliverance or the healing or the restoration that God had set aside for you. So let's go back to what Henny experienced. He's standing there waiting for his wife to be prayed. He brought her here with the faith that God is going to do something for her. It's not like he's an unbeliever. It's not like he's a Philistine. He's not uncircumcised. Okay, I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, when you are called an uncircumcised Philistine in the Bible, that's not a compliment, right? But he came here for healing. But suddenly something is trying to get rid of him. Who is that? Look at your neighbor and say, that's the devil. And you see, just like Jesus is alive and well and kicking, so unfortunately is the devil alive and well and kicking. And he's always trying to mess up what God is busy doing in people's lives. He doesn't want us to receive. He doesn't want us to have a testimony. He doesn't want to give us the opportunity to praise and glorify God because that is going to take you very far. I want to show you a scripture. Isaiah 59 verse 19. Actually, before I get there, let's look at Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert where for 40 days he was to be tempted by the devil. Now I want you to listen to this. I mean, this is probably going to freak some of you out, but this is just the way it is. Jesus was just filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that sound awesome to you? Well, bless God. Would God just bless me with the ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit the way that Jesus was? I need that, and I'm sure so do you. But you know what? A lot of us, we feel that if only I can come to a place where the anointing is strong, if only I can come to a place where I receive that power. I want to show you what tends to happen the moment the power comes. The moment the power comes, the devil comes on the scene. It's like the two go hand in hand. I know you don't like to hear it. You want me to tell you that everything's going to be fine. You want me to pat you on the shoulder and say, you know what, you're going to be so blessed and you're going to have no problems for the rest of your life. But guess what? Then I'm a liar. And then God's going to remove me from ministry very quickly. Jesus just had the most amazing experience. He was filled with the power of God. The very power of God came into his flesh. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is by the Holy Spirit that signs and wonders and miracles, healings, deliverances, all of these wonderful things that people, money can't buy, come through the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit into people's lives. It releases the power of God inside of you. It makes you effective for the kingdom of God. All of those things sound wonderful, I know. But here's the interesting thing. The moment that happened to Jesus, something really bad came into his life as well. Until that time, it seems that the devil didn't have too much to do in his life. But the moment that happened, the devil came on the scene. Let me ask the question, why? Look at your neighbor and say, because from that moment, Jesus was a threat. Yes. You see, up until that time, the devil saw Jesus as just another pleb, just another carpenter messing around. Nothing worth getting too excited about. But the moment the power of God came upon Jesus, ooh, now there's problems. But then I want to show you something else. It was actually the Holy Spirit that took him into the desert to confront the devil. Now, why on earth would God want to do that? No, Rion, you don't understand. God's not supposed to hand me over to the devil. Why not? God wants you to confront the devil as quickly as possible. You see, that's the problem with most people. They try and run around and run away from the devil most of their life. They never actually get to the place that they confront him so that they can start living a life of victory. You know, we like to listen to scriptures like, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that strengthens me. Then let me ask you this question, what have you conquered lately? Some of us, we're so busy running away from the devils in our life that we will never ever conquer them. And if you don't conquer them, you can't live a life of victory. And God called you to live a victorious life. God called you to live an abundant life. Tell me, how do you live an abundant life when you're living with a thief? If you try and make peace with the demons in your life. You know, a lot of people, they like that. I'll just smoke another Zol and I'll zone out and, you know, I'll just look. Well, how's that working for you? Just tell me. You wake up, apparently you get the munchies and put on a bit of weight. But it's not going to take you very far, is it? I want you to understand something about the Holy Spirit. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, two things are going to happen. The devil will take notice of you, and the Holy Spirit will want to push you towards that confrontation. Why? So that you can have victory. Because if you don't conquer that devil now, he's going to hang around for the rest of your life. And every time something good comes into your life, he will run away with your blessings. And don't you think that he won't, because the Bible says Satan is a thief. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And too many of us in the church, we want God to do everything for us. You know, God must be, the Holy Spirit must be like this heavenly vacuum cleaner that comes down and sucks every devil out of us. And please, God, just don't make me do something. Don't make me confronted. I don't want to pop in church. Nothing must happen when they pray for me. But these things have to happen. Just like the Holy Spirit wants us to confront our enemies. Let me give you an interesting scripture. Isaiah 59 verse 19. When the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Sometimes the enemy comes rushing in like a flood. Sickness comes into your life. Infirmity touches you. Poverty comes knocking on your door. Problems, problems, problems. Children become rebellious. Everything starts going wrong. You feel that nothing is working out for you. Guess what? The enemy... when the enemy comes rushing in, the enemy is coming against you. Why? Because he sees something is going to happen. Henny heard the spirit of doubt, the spirit of irritability, the spirit of frustration, probably the spirit of the Antichrist. Something was busy wara-waraing in his ear, telling him, take your wife and go. Why? Because the devil knew that something was going to come. Well, praise God, even though you doubted, even though you felt all of these things, you did not go, you stayed. Listen, yeah, it is not a sin to hear the voice of the devil, it is a sin to give in to the voice of the devil. If he wants you to run, and you run, then you've got problems. Why did the devil speak to him? Because Satan knew something was coming. Sometimes, and I want all of you to listen to me carefully now, sometimes it looks like everything is starting to go wrong. It looks like all the wheels are falling off. It looks like there's just problems, 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 and we can't understand why. And then you need to know one thing. Something big is about to happen in your life. And don't you think that the devil is going to sit on his backside and just let you have it? If he didn't do it for Jesus, why should he do it for you? Just answer me that. But God promised you He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. God promised you that He will always give you the power that you need to get you through every circumstance that comes into your life. He will not let you be tempted above what you can handle. All of that tells me that even though the enemy is going to come against us, God knows what's happening and God will allow it to work for you, not against you. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Hello? A far greater weight of God's eternal glory. Look at your neighbor and say, every time the devil comes against me, something good is coming for me. You better say that to the person on the other side because they also need to hear it. Every time the devil comes against me, something good is coming for me. Who of you have got big problems in your life right now? Come. Yeah, I like that. Just wave at me if you got big problems right now. Okay, now get up on your feet quickly. Get up. Right, do what I'm doing. Yay! Why? Amen! Why? Because something good is coming. You look at me, something good is coming for you. You better tell the devil, devil! I know! God is doing something. Amazing! Wonderful! Spectacular! Breakthrough is coming. Deal with it. Amen. Thank you. When the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. What is the Bible telling us? When the enemy starts coming against you like this flood waters trying to push you over, it's because the Spirit of the Lord is busy doing something. Right now, a lot of you got this voice speaking to you, give up. It's not going to work. Nothing is going to change. Nothing will ever happen for you. You know, it only happens for certain people, but you're not one of the elite. Guess what? The enemy knows something is coming. Let me tell you something about the devil. He does not know the future, but he can see the signs. You know, when suddenly there's a whole bunch of angels moving in the spirit around you, when there's all sorts of communication going up and down in the angelic realm and in the spiritual realm, the devil might not know what's going on, but he thinks to himself, ooh, yeah, I better try and stop this because I've seen this happen a couple of times before. You know, just before Jesus embarked on his earthly ministry, can you imagine what must have been going on in the spiritual realm around him? Because listen to me, before something can happen in the natural, it has to be established in the spirit first. So before Jesus walked into that desert and confronted the devil and walked out of the desert and manifested the power of God, let me tell you something, for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, there was a lot of activity around him. And don't you think that the devil didn't know about that? Now it's exactly the same in your life. It's exactly the same in my life. Sometimes there's a lot of things going on that we don't know about, but the devil sees, oh, there's big activity here. I must try with doubt. I must try with confusion. I must try with irritability. I must try with fighting. Doesn't matter how he does it. He wants to try and get rid of you. Because if he gets you to turn around and walk away, then you are the one that gave up the glory of God. And if he can do it, he will. I want you to listen to me. History is full, is riddled with people that had a great call on their life, that had a brilliant destiny, but because the devil put pressure on them and they allowed that pressure to bring them down, they never fulfilled their destiny. But that doesn't have to be you, and that will not be me, in Jesus' name. Listen to me, when the devil starts pushing, it's for you to push back, not for you to fall down. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me show you an interesting scripture. I read you Luke chapter 4 verse 1 just now. I'm going to read it again. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Okay. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit took him into the desert where the devil was waiting for him. The devil was waiting for him because the devil knew something is going to change in Jesus' life, and he wanted to do whatever he could to stop the change from coming. The Holy Spirit took him into the desert because the Holy Spirit knew what the devil was planning, and he said, sort him out now, before it is too late. Now. Then Jesus did what the Holy Spirit wanted. Jesus resisted the devil. Every time the devil tried to bring confusion or doubt, Jesus countered him with a word. The Bible says the word is the sword, so Jesus was using the sword of the Spirit against the devil. He was fighting back. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for me and for you to start fighting back. Okay, now do it like you mean it. Raise your hand and say, today I choose to fight back. Oh my, a whole bunch of demons just had a heart attack right now. Yeah, praise God. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Mr. Georgie, give me five. Today, we choose to fight back. Amen. Amen. Today, we fight back. I know, yeah, yeah. Okay, Mr. Donald,
yes.
You're going to fight back.
Amen.
There we go. Amen. That spirit of slumber, when he tries to touch you again, you kick his backside, eh? Amen. All right, now listen to verse 14. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. I don't know if you catch, there's a difference here. When he went into the desert, the Bible says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went into the desert. But when he came out of the desert, the Bible says, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you don't understand the difference, but when Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he received potential. When Jesus did what the Holy Spirit wanted to, when he was obedient, when he confronted the enemy and he put him in his place, when he conquered the oppressor, when he allowed the Holy Spirit to rise up inside of him and challenge and confront and be victorious over Satan, he entered into the dimension where no longer was it potential, but now it was to be made manifest. He would walk in the power of God. Is there anybody here that wants to walk in the power of God? Just wave at me. I like you. Now, if you want to do it one step better, start jumping. Jump, 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 jump. There we go. Where, how do we get to the place that we start walking in the power of God? We have to be obedient to God. And when the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, trust the Holy Spirit to work in you to raise up a standard against him. Resist him and he will flee from you. And that allows what God put inside of you to start coming out, to be made manifest. And you will begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Mark chapter 3. Verse 7 to 10. We've seen God do some amazing things here. We have our other friend there. I forget your name. What's your name again? Yes. Nicolene. God healed her of a whole bunch of stuff. And you know, Nicolene, it's just interesting for me that you here tonight when she was sharing her testimony. Because the two of you sounded very similar when I asked you what was me pray for. It was like, well, bring me the dictionary of all the infirmities and I'll tick them all one by one, you know. Both of you, you had big, big, big problems. Did you hear that? Like, you were like, I've got this and that and that. And she was like, oh, I've got this and that and that. She wanted a complete makeover. It's nice to have a complete makeover, isn't it? And it's good when God does it for you, because when God does it, it's for mahala, it's for free. Yeah, you don't have somebody coming and giving you a big bill for it. Amen. Yeah, God is good. God is very good. God is very good. Now, we've seen the Lord do some amazing things. We've seen the Lord do some wonderful healings. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. You know, I want to be honest with you. I haven't slept very well the last couple of weeks, not because of all my worries, but because I'm too excited. It's like my mind doesn't want to switch off so lekker, because I'm all excited about what God is doing. But I'd rather be excited about God than not. I'd rather lie awake tonight, at night, thinking, wow, God is good. God is amazing. Yeah, this is phenomenal stuff. Than lying there thinking, oh, you know what? My life is so dismal. I'm in so much despair. Do you agree with me? That's a wonderful place to be. Now, I want to share with you a scripture tonight where the Bible talks about Jesus healing the sick. Listen to this. Mark chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. Oh, did you hear that? A large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the region across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowds, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready to keep people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down and cried out, "You are the Son of God." Okay. It starts off by telling us that Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. A large crowd. What constitutes a large crowd? I don't know. Was there 100 people? Was there 1,000 people? Was there 2,000 people? I would like to think that there was in the thousands. Can I tell you why I think there was in the thousands? Because when Jesus had to feed the multitudes who had been with him for such a long time without food. In fact, the Bible tells us for like 3 days and three nights, these people followed Jesus and they hadn't eaten anything, and he was moved by compassion to feed them. When was the last time that you did not eat for 3 days and three nights? Probably when they took out your wisdom teeth or something like that. You know, for most of you, that's like something really big had to happen. Think about this. These people followed Jesus for 3 days and three nights. Now, there were some teenagers amongst those people. And you know, I've got a teenager sitting at the back there. If he doesn't eat in like 2 hours or 3 hours, he convinces me that his throat has just been slit and he's busy dying of hunger, you know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. How do you get a teenager to sit and listen to a man preach for 3 days and three nights? I'll tell you how, because the man did not just preach. A lot of things happened at those meetings. In fact, those people were so overawed by what Jesus did, they were so taken in by what they saw, they forgot to eat. You can forget to eat if something else demands all of your attention. And that's literally what happened. These people, they were so into what was happening there. You know, some of you, it's like when you're watching the rugby. Okay, I know for the women, this is like crazy talk. For you, it's like watching the Kardashians, you know? Yeah. Somebody wants you to get something. Yeah, just wait a bit. Yeah, just, not now. Just a bit later. You want to go to the toilet and you're watching the rugby like this, but you're still watching, you know, because... You know, Abana might just do something or... Come on. You make a plan because, oh, this is important for me. Oh, I want to see what's going to happen next. Maybe, just maybe we're going to do it. If you're a Lions supporter, now you, of course, you don't know what I'm talking about because we seem to be battling again. But we're going to get there, Ed, aren't we? Yeah, for sure. We're going to get there. Be quiet about the Sharks, yeah, man. What's wrong with you? The Bible says, beware to him through who the offense comes. Let me just help you out, yeah. I'm only joking. But the thing is, if something really takes up your, touches you inside, and it's like, it's not a problem for you to skip a couple of things that's necessary. It's easy. The things that happened when Jesus ministered were of such a magnitude that even food didn't matter. The people didn't mind giving up their food, giving up their time. Now, Jesus understood that even though their spirits were being fed, you see, here's the thing. What Jesus did was feeding the spirit of man. And the Bible says man will not live from bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. So their spirits became big and strong and fat. But Jesus realized that their bodies were taking some knocks. And he didn't want them to suffer. So he fed them. Can you remind me how many people did he feed? 5,000 men. On top of the men, there was women. On top of the women, there was children. There could have been 25,000 people there that day that God fed. Now, please take into account. Oh, just go with me here. There was no cell phones. There was no internet. There was no email. There was no satellites. There was no TV. There was no TBN. There was none of these things. Yet 25,000 people were following. There was no Mr. Delivery, yes. No wonder they were suffering. Yeah. 25,000 people, 20,000 people, 15,000 people. I don't know how many was there, but there was a lot. And they were all there spending time with Jesus. Why? Because of what they saw. Because of what they felt. Because of what they experienced. Because their spirit was telling them there's no other place for you right now. This is the best place for you to be. Don't go home now. You don't want to miss a second of what's going to happen here. Now look at this. Mark chapter 3 verse 7 to 10. Again, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing. Oh, stop right there. Why did they follow Jesus? Because of what he was doing. What was he doing? Was he just preaching boring sermon after boring sermon? Listen to me, if you preach boring sermons, even 10 minutes is too long. Come on, some of you know. You went, you sat on the pew, the pastor or the preacher or the priest or whatever opened their mouth, and it was like 10 minutes later, sheesh, when is he going to end? You better not think that way about me, okay? I'm just warning you. But I've been there and I've done that. Man, I went to a wedding the one time, sheesh, like, I really feel sorry for that bride and groom because, gee, I tell you what, that oak waffled on for like an hour and he said nothing the whole hour. I thought to myself, sheesh, if this is the foundation for this marriage, I think there's problems on the horizon. You know? No, man, come on. Come on. But the people didn't follow Jesus because he was flapping his lips all the time. In fact, I have this feeling that Jesus didn't say that much. He did that much. You know, interestingly enough, Jesus never really preached on demons. Have you ever wondered why he didn't really preach on demons? He didn't have to preach on them. He would point his finger, the thing would pop, come screaming out of the people, and everybody knew, oh, demons are real. He didn't have to convince them. He didn't have to use scripture upon scripture to tell people, oh, you must be careful of the devil. The people saw what happened when he prayed for them, and that settled the argument. You know, today, I can't tell you how many people, believers, pastors, etc., have had arguments with me about this whole, oh, you know, demons aren't real and the devil is not real. Guess what? You've never seen him. That's why you think that way. But if you are where the anointing and the power of God is, you will see them come screaming out of people, and you will see people's lives changed, and you'll change your argument. In fact, you'll stop arguing instantly. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's not just lack of knowledge, it's lack of experiencing God. Listen, yeah, I don't want to serve some Mickey Mouse God. I don't have time for that in my life. You know, these people that worship tree trunks and statues and the moon and the sun and the stars, etc., etc., that must be a really boring life. Because you never get anything from it. You can't experience the power of that thing. Listen, yeah, man, that's just stupid. What we believe in makes sense, not just because it is written in the Word of God, but because it is real. You can experience the touch of God. You can experience the healing power of God. And that is why crowds of thousands of people follow Jesus wherever he went. Because where Jesus went, you never knew what was going to happen next. Come on, just be with me. 1 minute, somebody is sick, dying of cancer, the next minute they're running around, they're praising God. One minute somebody's having an epileptic fit, one word, whoop, whoop, demon gone, they're running around, praising God. This one can't see, the next minute they're running around, praising God. Come on, won't that allow you to stay? Don't you think that that would be like, wow, I don't want to leave this place. I'm telling you, a lot of those people, they couldn't wait to get the opportunity to spend time with Jesus. Because when they spent time with Him, they forgot about all of their problems. They forgot about all of their trials, their tribulations, all their issues disappeared. Because this is like, wow, that's like heaven on earth. Do you want to get close to heaven on earth? Just walk with Jesus a little bit. That's heaven on earth. That is the supernatural touching the natural and pushing the natural one side. Do you know that we serve a supernatural God? Listen to me. We better be serving a supernatural God, because there's a lot of problems in your life that can't be fixed in the natural. Huh, Louis? Yeah. Listen to this. A large crowd from Galilee followed Him when they heard all He was doing. Many people came to Him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and all the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and around Sidon. In other words, the Bible is trying to tell us the whole known world in that area, people were coming in their hundreds, in their thousands, from all of these regions to be where Jesus was, because they heard what He was doing. Okay. What am I trying to say to you? We can either teach people history, which is doomed to repeat itself, so you're not going to get anywhere by teaching them history, or we can introduce them to the living God. What do you think Jesus did? The Pharisees were quoting what happened to Moses and the prophets and David and Solomon and whatever. But there was no power in what they showed the people. They simply read from the scriptures. That was all. They had no revelation. When Jesus came, everything changed. Do you know that when Jesus came for 400 years, there had been no miracles, no signs, no wonders. Nothing had happened. And for the Israelites, that was a really bad thing to happen, because they prided themselves on the fact that they served the living God. But for 400 years, they never experienced His touch. They never experienced, nobody ever prophesied for 400 years. It was a time of darkness. Israel was in a spiritual drought. Nothing was happening. And then God chose to break the drought by allowing His Son to come. And suddenly, not only did they hear the Word of God every day, but they lived heaven on earth. The blind eyes opened, the deaf ears heard, the cripple walked. Pain and suffering had to bow before Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It was an awesome, amazing, fantastic, wonderful time. And you know what? I would have been very blessed if I could have lived in that time. But God called me to live in that in this season, in this era. And can I tell you why that's not a problem? Because the Word of God says what Jesus did, we will do. I don't have to live in that time. It would have been nice to meet Him and nice to spend time with Him, but I'm going to meet Him one day anyway. But can I tell you one thing? God is showing me and showing you and wants us to realize that we don't have to see this as something that happened way back when. This is something that God wants to happen today. Crowds of thousands followed Him. You know, today we have problems filling churches. Our churches are closing down at an astonishing rate. You all know that some of you grew up in very established areas where when you were young, when you were in your teens or whatever, there was a church on every second corner. Today, there's three or four churches left in the most suburbs. The rest have all closed down. They've become businesses. They've become storage units. There's a fairly big church in my area that's become a storage unit. They bought it up because it's a nice big building and they can store a lot of stuff in it. There's another big church in my area that today it's a trucking company. When I was growing up, it was a flourishing church. I don't know if it was flourishing, but it was busy. There was a lot of people that used to go there. Today, nobody's going there. Can I tell you why? Because the crowds don't come to hear. They come to see what is happening. Because I want to tell you something. God created us with a longing and a hunger for God. And we have to introduce people to God. When they meet with God, they don't want to go nowhere. When they hear history, they think to themselves, man, I've been through this at school. I didn't like it then. I still don't like it. Come on. How do you get people to come to God? You need to start doing what Jesus did. Jesus never had to go and beg people to come to him. Do you see anything in the Bible where Jesus begged people to come to him? No. His reputation ran all over the place because of what people saw. They heard what he did. In other words, somebody saw what he did and they couldn't wait to tell this one and that one and that one and that one. Today we are living in a generation that, in my understanding, is one of the worst generations that has ever lived. There is more doubt, more unbelief, more sexual immorality, more perversion, more rubbish going on in this generation than in any, than probably all of the generations up to now put together. People just don't care anymore. How do we change that? We're not going to change it with a nice sermon. Nice sermons can sometimes speak to people, but people have to experience God. Listen to me carefully. People have to experience God. Doesn't the Word say that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Of course He is. So what He did way back when, doesn't He want to then do the same thing today? Now we have a lot of churches telling us, oh, but these things can't happen because it was only for the early church. No. There wasn't just problems in the early church, there's problems today. There wasn't just sickness in the early church, there's sickness today. Demons didn't just mess with people way back when, they still mess with people today. How stupid is it if God allowed a way out for the people then, but we just have to suffer in silence? Come on. That's not consistent with the nature and the character of God. If God had compassion, let's look at Jesus. If Jesus had the compassion to feed the thousands way back when, don't you think He still has compassion on us now? If He saw people with problems then and He wanted to do something to help them, let me tell you something, that Jesus never died. He's risen. He's alive. The only reason He had to pass from this dimension to another dimension is somebody had to go and kick the devil's backside and take his keys. Jesus was the man. For 3 days He went down to hell. Why? To punch the devil in the nose, kick him in the backside, take his keys and say, no. Take that, devil. And to make a way for us to live a life of victory. To live a life of victory. Now listen to this. Because of the crowds, He told these disciples to have a small boat ready to keep people from crowding Him. For He had healed many, so those with diseases were pushing forward to touch Him. Okay. Why did the crowds come? Because they had a need. But they came with a need because they knew that Jesus was the man to meet the need. Amen? What need do you have today? I don't know, because I don't know most of you personally. There's a couple of people here that I know your needs. Louis, I can't do nothing about your weird brain, but for the rest I can probably make a plan. He says his brain is still new. He never uses it. I actually think you got a point there. I have to find the instruction manual and make you read it, because that's probably going to make a difference. Where's the on-off switch? Listen, yeah. Tonight when you get home, I want you to put on your pajamas and I want you to just bend over like that, because I have a feeling if your wife kicks you very hard up the backside, it's going to kick something into gear and you'll start functioning properly. How's that? Wear your stilettos when you kick. It'll help. There we go. People came to Jesus because they had a need. They kept coming and kept coming because He met the need. Okay, now, the devil wants us to know or wants us to believe that today that has changed. Listen to me very carefully. If you want to believe the lie from the devil, I can't help you. But I want to say to you that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The same Jesus that walked the earth way back when, He walks the earth today. Today He uses that man, me, her, him. We become the hands and the feet of Christ. Didn't Jesus say that we will do what He did and even greater things we will do? You know, I can understand why people find it difficult to believe that. If you grew up in a church where you never saw the power of God, where you never experienced God doing anything, probably you will feel that way. Isn't it time that we change that? Come on, somebody just help me out. Isn't it time that we change that? I want to show you another scripture. It comes from the book of Mark, chapter 16. We looked at it quickly the other day, but we're going to look at it again. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. Then Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Again, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ called? It's called the good news. You have sickness, I have good news for you. You have poverty, I have good news for you. You have a problem, I have good news for you. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, "I have good news for you." There we go, there we go. Jesus said, we must spread the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Okay? Anybody in this place call themselves a believer? If you're not raising your hands right now, I'm going to have to pray for you. You can't leave until I lead you down the sinner's prayer. How's that? Okay, so believers, wave at me, wave at me. There we go. Keep your hand up. Listen what God wants you to do. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. Listen to me. The devil should know your name. You know, when the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out a demon from a really seriously demon-possessed man, the demon turned around, looked at them and said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but you, who are you?" God wants the devil to know your name. Not because of all the nonsense in your life, but because of who you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. There we go. The devil must know your name. Yeah. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Hello? Imagine. Just imagine. I walk up to this man and I shake his hand. He's got some problem. Who knows what it is? And the moment I touch him, because you see the anointing can be transferred. The moment I touch him, something inside of him jumps. And from that moment on, he's healed. Don't you think that for the rest of his life, he's going to be praising God? Come on, it's not impossible. The Bible says the Apostle Peter walked past people and his shadow fell on them. And when his shadow touched them, they were healed. Can I tell you something about the anointing? The anointing doesn't just function through touch. Sometimes the anointing it permeates the air around that individual. And if you just walk past people, the anointing is enough to heal them. That's actually what the Bible's trying to say. He was close enough to them that his shadow fell on them. He was close enough to them that the anointing that was being radiated from him could still heal them and set them free. How amazing is that? Come on, that's awesome stuff. That's awesome stuff. Now, look at this. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out. Listen to me. Then the disciples went out. Here's the problem today. Yeah, that's my phone. Sorry. You know, I don't want to be funny, but I don't know who phones me now because I'm supposed to be preaching now. So please, just, don't phone me while I'm preaching, eh? The disciples went out. That's one of the biggest problems we have today. People don't want to go out anymore. People don't want to go out. People want everything to come to them. Eddie, just please switch off that stupid thing. People want everything to come to them. Listen, yeah, it doesn't work that way. You must be willing to go. You know, somebody once said, signs follow those who go. Is anybody in this place willing to go? Anybody willing to, if God says to you tonight, I want you to go and do something, are you willing to do it? Then you should expect what the Bible says. Listen what the Bible says. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them. Wow! Did you hear that? When you are willing to go, then God says, I'm going with. When you want to sit, God says, I'm going nowhere. God doesn't force you. He makes you choose to go or not. Let me see again. Where are the hands of all of those that want to go? Now listen to this. Listen to this. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that followed. What type of signs are we talking about? Signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverances. Listen to me, my friend. People often ask the question, does God still heal today? Well, I want to ask this question, do people still pray for people today? Because if you are willing to start going, you will start experiencing something. But most of us, we don't go nowhere, so we experience nothing and we say like, oh, God doesn't heal. No, He does. When last did you give Him the opportunity? Raise your hands for me, both of them. Raise your hands. Listen carefully. Those are the hands of Jesus. Hello? Yeah, you're looking at me with these big eyes, but it's true. Those are the hands of Jesus. Come here. Stand there. Have you ever asked God to use you? Have you? When was the last time? A long time ago. What happened? Nothing. Do you want God to use you? Do you think God wants to use you? According to the scripture, God wants to use you. Raise your hands. Take it. Pick up. Help Him. Oh. Okay, the anointing is too heavy. Pick up, pick up, pick up. Take it, take it, take it. Okay, did I touch her? No. What, did I have to touch her? Yeah, I could have touched her if I wanted to. But the anointing is like that. I told you, the anointing can radiate. Let's talk about heat. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the fire of God. Come on. Fire. Does it only burn you when you touch it? Or can it burn you through the radiation of heat? Listen to me carefully. I don't know about you, but there's been a couple of times when I've driven past a felt fire. You go past that 120, but for that split second that you pass it, it's like the paint wants to climb off your vehicle. You actually get burnt inside the car. You're probably 20, 30 meters away from that fire, but the heat is still touching you. That's how the anointing works. If it is powerful enough, it will radiate through and touch the person without you having to actually touch it. Isn't that amazing? For me, that is amazing. Now, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, Jesus speaking, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." Again, the Bible tells us that the gospel is good news. So I want to say to you again, if you're sitting here tonight and you have a problem, I have good news for you. Jesus is alive and He still does it. To preach the good news to the poor, stop there. What is the Bible talking about? The poor. Are we talking about people that have zero in the bank? No. Poor means lack. Is anybody here tonight that is lacking in faith? I have good news for you. Is anybody here tonight that is lacking in wisdom? All the teenagers better raise their hands now. There we go. Is there anybody here tonight that is lacking in healing? Anybody here that is lacking in deliverance? In other words, you know you got a couple of chochos giving you a hard time. I've got good news for you. Oh, you got plenty, eh? I've got much good news for you. Listen, yeah. You sit and you think of every area in your life that you have lack. Here's what Jesus says. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news." The first thing God wants you to know is there's good news. And then He wants you to understand that that good news is going to touch you in a special way. Listen here. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives. What is captives? It's people that are oppressed. It is people that are caged in by circumstances, by demons, by society. It doesn't matter. Any of you ever feel that you are caged in? You want to just break out and your life has been stuck for a long time. Where's all the people that feel stuck? Come on. You feel stuck. I've got good news for you. You don't have to be captive. You don't have to be captive to an organization. You don't have to be captive to your mind being negative or despondent or dejected. You don't have to be captive to the spirit of lust or perversion or whatever. You can be set free. Amen? And then he goes on and he says, to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Well, that goes both ways. People that can't see, God can open their eyes. People that go through life blind, and let me tell you, there's lots of them, God can give you revelation. Knowledge, insight. God can change the way you see the world. And then he ends off by saying, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To release the oppressed. Once again, speaking of people in bondage. You will be surprised how many people think that they're okay, but they are really in bondage. One of the biggest problems that Christians have is they believe they're untouchable. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is in me, so I can't have demons. You can have the Holy Spirit in you and have a lot of demons in your life. The Holy Spirit is not afraid of the demons. He's come to help you get rid of them. Without him, you can't get rid of them in the first place. You understand? But you see, we like to believe this old wives' tale that the Holy Spirit and demons can't exist, coexist in the same body. The Holy Spirit's got no problem with your demons. He's waiting for you to get the revelation that he wants to help you to boot them out. But you see, he doesn't do it. He works with you when you do it. And that's why so many people never get set free, because they never do anything about it. Now, Jesus is speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, I want to stop there. If I say to you, because, what do I mean? I'm going to give you a reason. A lot of people, oh, I want the anointing. Oh, I want the Holy Spirit, but they don't have a reason. Listen here. The Holy Spirit, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon people, it's not a party trick. He comes to equip you. And that's why so many people, even when they are under the anointing, they take nothing away from it. Because God knows in your heart you're not ready to do anything. You don't want to have that because. Tonight, if the power of God is going to touch you, it's going to touch you because. So what is your because? What is your because? Oh, he's lost the plot completely. I'm going to lay hands on you, son. Some of you, you want to change your life. Some of you, you're going to use that wisdom wisely. Some of you, you're going to get healed and then you're going to glorify God by your testimony, etc., etc. Because. In Jesus' case, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me too. The anointing doesn't come to make you feel good. Listen, yeah, this is not a bless me club. This is where God calls warriors to equip them to go out there and be dangerous. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm dangerous. Yeah, don't you sit and talk like that to the woman next to you and give her like this funny eyeballs and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, it's not like, you know. No! Dangerous for the devil. Amen? Dangerous for the devil. Jesus was effective because he was anointed. Because he was willing to preach good news. Because he allowed God to use him to set the captives free. Because God through him could heal. What does the word Christian mean? It means Christ-like. In a sense, it means little Christ. A chip off the old block. Did Jesus heal the sick? Can you? Oh. Did Jesus cast out devils? Can you? Did Jesus preach good news? Can you? Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? So guess what? Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelt. Is there anybody here that gets what I'm trying to say? The anointing is available to those that are willing to do something with the anointing to glorify God. If you just want the anointing to feel good and say to people, oh, you know what, last night I went to church and I had gooseies all over and it was... No, that's not why God gives you the anointing. He gives it to equip you. He gives it to train you up. He gives it to release you out there into that dark world and make a difference. I don't know about you, but we all called to make a difference. Listen, yeah, you have a purpose. That's why you were born now. There's a reason why you didn't walk with Jesus way back when. God wanted you here now, but He needs you to get with a program and have an excitement, an expectation in your spirit that when the anointing touches you, things in your life is going to change. Well, guess what? I've got some very good news for you. The anointing is here tonight. And if you're going to allow it to touch you the way God wants it to touch you, if you will be like Jesus and you will say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because... something is going to happen for you tonight. God wants to equip people. God wants to equip people. Yes, you were right. Uncle Tony, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He wants to use you. And for you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He's got a plan for your life. And for you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because with a husband like that, what did you expect? I'm only joking. Well, bless God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me too. Okay, now. What has God anointed you to? I might not be able to answer that for you. That is something you have to find. But in your heart, you must say to the Lord tonight, Lord, tonight, I want to be anointed to be a blessing. I want to be anointed to make a difference. I want to be anointed to be functional in the kingdom of God. I want to be anointed to glorify your name. I want to be anointed so that the devil, every time I come into the room. Come on. That's a good thing to aspire to. Amen. For me, I'm blessed because God has anointed me to make a difference in your life. God has anointed me to speak a word of truth into your spirit tonight that will change your life radically and drastically forever if you take it and make it your own. I want to say something to you, and I believe that I'm prophesying now. People are going to leave this place tonight and you will never be the same again. If you take this word and you receive it, if you come forward with an expectation, you will see what God is going to do for you tonight. Let me tell you something. Springs will never be the same again. Your life is going to be like the city, a wellspring of life. Doesn't the Bible say that when the Spirit of God is poured out upon us, streams of living water will come gushing from us? You know, a lot of people, that's where they make the mistake. They want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but when they receive it, they want to keep it all for themselves. They don't want to go out. They want to just say, oh, the Spirit filled me last night. But why? Do you know that the Bible says, freely you have received, freely you shall give? Do you know why so many people never really receive much from God? They can talk about that one time in 20 futsak when they felt the power of God, but you can't see anything in their life because they receive, but they never give. If you get anointed tonight, why did God anoint you? To do something. So what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Probably God's going to show you some of that stuff. Probably the Holy Spirit's going to push your life in a certain direction. But I want you to make a commitment tonight. When you come to receive whatever it is that you're coming for, when you come to receive, what you receive, you're going to give. What you receive, you're going to give. And do you know how you get more? The more you give, the more you get. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, Rion, but what must I do to get anointed? Start giving some away. Through healing, through deliverance, through prayer, through intercession, whatever. Give some away and see how much you'll get. You know, they say you can never outgive God. Amen? Freely you have received, freely you must give. The more we give, the more we receive. Amen? Anybody want to receive? Yeah. I like that. Amen. Me too. And I'm going to. You know, every time I lay hands on you and anointing leaves me, anointing fills me. And there's always a bit more that comes in than what goes out. Because God will always bless you with more than what you've given. You know about sowing and reaping? If I sow anointing into this man's life tonight, God will allow me to reap anointing. If I sow healing into her life tonight, then God will allow me to reap healing. In other words, I can never, if I want more, all I have to do is keep giving, 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 giving. And then there's going to come a time when I'm going to have so much that probably I'm not going to know what to do with myself. Oh, Lord, I'm prophesying now. But that'll be an amazing place to be, won't it? Bless God. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please.